listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Tim Link, and thank you for joining us today. We have a very exciting day. My guests today are Alan and Linda Anderson. They'll be talking with us today about several of their books, including the recently released book, Dogs and the Women Who Love Them. So Dogs and the Women Who Love Them. So we'll talk a little bit about that book as well as one or two of the other books that they have because they get a great selection of books. Now, Dogs and the Women Who Love Them celebrates canine female teams who form deep bonds of companionship that result in courageous acts of love and healing for the dogs, as well as the women and all the people whose lives they touch. So it's a great book, and we're going to delve into that here shortly. But first, I'd like to share some information with you. I always like to share interesting articles and interesting tidbits that I think everybody would be interested in. There's a great article that I read recently in a newspaper. As you know, the elderly and disabled sometimes have difficult times taking care of their pets, especially when their pets have certain health conditions that take constant care or constant companion. You know, it takes a lot of opportunity and effort on behalf of the elderly. Well, at Colorado State University, there's a program that veterinary students can participate in, and it helps animals stay in their homes. The program is called Pets Forever. And in the article, a schnauzer named Pocket, which you all know I'm a big fan of schnauzers with my boy named Buzz. The article covers the schnauzer named Pocket. He was featured and was shown being given in-home treatment for his diabetes by a veterinarian student. His owner, or human companion as I like to call him, who was an elderly and disabled, thought that she would originally have to give up Pocket or help him transition because she could no longer take care of him. She couldn't do it on her own. However, thanks to this program at Colorado State University, Pocket could stay with his owner for the rest of his life and receive the care that he needs to manage his diabetes. It's always a great to read about special programs like this, special programs that are making a positive difference for pets and for people. And if you'd like to learn more about the Pets Forever program at Colorado State University, please go to my blog on Pet Life Radio. Go to the Animal Rights blog on Pet Life Radio and click to the link, and I'll take you to the website so you can read more information about it. So big kudos to Colorado State University and their veterinarian program, the Pets Forever program. And from my understanding, they're looking to expand this. So if you know other veterinarian schools in your area or universities in your area that have veterinarian schools, may want to lead them to this link from my blog. Maybe get them involved. It'd be great to have this available across the nation to help the elderly. And I know it's a challenge. My little boy, Buzz, he has diabetes, and we have to give him insulin shots twice a day. The challenge is he doesn't like doing them on his own, so it takes my wife and myself to sort of get him in the mood to get his shot. She's the brave soul that gives him his shot every day, and I just simply encourage him, comfort him, and rub his little cute little pink cheeks to get him calmed down so he can take his diabetes medicine. But it is a challenge, and so we applaud Colorado State University and the Pets Forever program. So check it out on my blog, the Animal Rights blog on Pet Life Radio. Go to PetLifeRadio.com. We're going to take a brief break here in a moment, but we're going to come right back with Alan and Linda Anderson right after these messages. So everybody stay tuned.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
There isn't anything we won't do to make sure they're getting the best products and the best care. So when you ask us a question like,
so how do you feel about cat condos?
We can say from experience,
feels like home for her.
Enter the code LUCKY10, LUCKY, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at Petco.com.
There's a movement afoot, ShoeBuy.com. Join the millions of people who shop ShoeBuy.com's over 400 brands and 500,000 products. Order now and get free shipping and free return shipping. ShoeBuy.com, the world's greatest shoe store.
Walk your dog in style and comfort. Enter the code LUCKY, L-U-C-K-Y, at checkout and get a 10% discount plus free shipping at ShoeBuy.com.
Celebrate your special occasion and give her this classic semi-eternity band created with 1-carat brilliant diamonds, channel set in 14-carat white gold. Exclusively yours from ICE.com. Free shipping over $150, free returns, and 30-day money-back guarantee.
Go to ICE.com and use promo code ACTFP and get 20% off your purchase. Or use promo code ADTFP and get 20% off at Diamond.com. ICE.com or Diamond.com. Get 20% off from Pet Life Radio.
This year, Americans are expected to spend a jaw-dropping $36 billion on their pets. From lighted leashes to high-end spa products, the discriminating pet owner can find just about anything to pamper his or her pet. Hi, this is Michelle Fern. Join me every week for Best Bets for Pets, where we'll talk about the latest pet products and talk to the companies that make them. Best Bets for Pets, every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Okay, welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Joining me now are Alan and Linda Anderson, who through their many books and through their Angel Animals Network, they help people discover and benefit from the miraculous power of animals. You know, they're dedicated to promoting human-animal companionship and the idea that pets are family. Alan and Linda also donate a portion of their proceeds from their work to animal rescue organizations. Two of my all-time favorite people, so I want to welcome on board Alan and Linda Anderson. Thanks for joining Animal Rights Program on Pet Life Radio.
Well, thank you for having us.
Good to be with you.
Yeah, well, it's great to talk to you guys again. And this book is a fantastic book, Dogs and the Women Who Love Them. And I know last time I teased you a little bit because I want to see the next book, which is Dogs and the Men Who Love Them. That's the one I want to see next too. But I know it's hard to get us guys to actually put something in writing, let alone our emotions in writing. So I understand why you went this route instead.
But maybe we could have Dogs and the Men Who Love Them written by the women who love the men.
That's right. Poking them a little bit, prodding them to get the work done. I think that's a good way to do it. So tell us a little bit about the book and what inspired you to write the book.
Well, it's interesting. You know, over the years, we've been collecting stories from people all around the world about their amazing experiences and, you know, how much they've grown because of animals in their lives, especially that bond between an individual and their dog. And, you know, most of the stories that we receive, both in our contest and just people that want to send in stories to maybe be published in our online newsletter, Story of the Week, are from women. And it's just beautiful, some of these stories. I often went around when we went on our Midwest book tour, I went to different cities, I would ask the audience, I would say, why is it that a woman can achieve incredible things in life, can do all the things that she wants to do in life with a canine at her side and not necessarily a fella? And I would get lots of answers. And that was one of the reasons why we really wanted to share these stories.
Yeah, I love the little quote on the back from Betty White. When asked, Betty, you never remarried, how can you live alone? And her answer was, it's simple. My golden retriever Pontiac is my saving grace. So I do think the animals, obviously, they play a key role in our lives, a key role in our hearts. They are part of the family unit. And, you know, sometimes women, I think, understand that a little bit better than us guys do. It takes us a little bit longer to let that sink in, I believe.
Well, we also have a really fun section at the beginning of the book where we have a few of the shorter stories from women who had the dogs as their protectors, but also as their love detectors. And, you know, they kind of, when a guy would come, they would get a reading from the dog about whether or not this guy was a keeper or not.
Absolutely. I do a lot of consultations as a communicator for people and their animals. And yes, just recently I had one of those where the relationship was stepping up to the next level, but the dog wasn't quite ready for that relationship to step up to the next level. So we had to put some methods and techniques into play to try to have the dog get a little bit better understanding of the boyfriend. And I think, fortunately, I believe that relationship's still going strong. So that's good news.
Well, I have one recommendation for the guys who are dating a woman that has a wonderful dog and a companion, lots of treats.
Ah.
I'm with you.
Bribe the dog. Bribery always works. Yeah, if you win over the dog, you have a better chance of even winning over the lady. So that's very important. Now, you mentioned also there is a wide variety of stories in the book. I know it's very hard to do, but I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you have a favorite one that comes to mind that sort of warmed your heart or gave a good laugh to you?
Well, I think one of my favorites is it's a story about a woman who from Chicago who has a dog, had a dog named Miguel, and she and her husband rescued the dog. He was a Newfoundland mix, I believe. And they really just loved this guy. And she would take him for walks in their neighborhood, and their neighborhood was near a school that was kind of in an inner-city area, or at least inner-city kids were coming to that school. And there were some children walking to school, and oftentimes the kids would want to play with Miguel because Miguel loved to chase tennis balls. Well, this one morning, a little group of eight-year-olds stopped her and asked could they play with Miguel, and she said yes. And she noticed one of the little boys was kind of ill-kempt and looked like he was really having a rough time in life. He looked in a lot worse shape than the other ones. And so at the end of the play period, then they asked could they go back to her condo with her because she had mentioned that Miguel had 70 tennis balls,
They
all wanted to play. And she'd never allowed this before, and she to this day doesn't know why she did. But she brought, she said, okay, and the little boys came back, and she said you could play until the first school bell rings. Well, while the other children were playing with Miguel, this little boy, who she called Paco, started looking at her art books, and she was really surprised because she wasn't expecting that. And over the course of time, to make a long story short, Paco and Miguel and she and her husband Roger formed this very, very deep friendship and eventually became a family because Paco, his family was really in pretty bad shape and he was going through a bad time. And they let him start coming over to their house, and they wound up helping him with his education and his, you know, going to the doctor and all this. And this was all just, you know, because they all grew to love each other. And later in the story, she says that she asked Paco later about why did you want to, you know, to come here and to make friends with us. And he said, well, my grandmother had just died, and I saw how much you loved Miguel, and I wondered if you could love me too.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was just a beautiful start, and the story ends with Paco's daughter, Princess, who's now sort of like their granddaughter, and they're doing the same things for her, taking her soccer games and music practices and things like that. And it's just a terrific story about how families can form around a dog who is really special, like Miguel was, and the love that is the factor that puts these families together.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, they have a purpose. There's a reason for them to be in part of our lives. Not only that heart connection that we have, but also to teach us and expand our lives, and in this case, expand our families, so everybody can share in the love. Now, the book Dogs and the Women Who Love Them was recommended recently for dog lovers by Oprah Winfrey's O Magazine. So what do you think of that when that happened? Was that a complete surprise to you?
Oh, we were shocked and delighted, and it was definitely a surprise. But it was something that this book really needed because it has so many special stories, and for it to have a wider audience was important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure that helped a little bit, having that as a recommendation by Oprah Winfrey's O Magazine.
Helped a lot with just being able to tell people that.
Just like a dog, your ears perk up a little bit more when you hear Oprah's name around something.
Exactly. Our credibility, you know, really rose with that one.
Exactly. And it's a big deal. I mean, it really is. And I tell people, you know, I know quite a few friends and colleagues of mine that have been on Oprah's television show when it was on. And that didn't necessarily mean increased business and exposure until Oprah gave sort of the thumbs up that this is something you should do or something you should purchase, et cetera. And then it was like the golden ticket to Willy Wonka Land, I believe.
People often have told us that they read one of our books and they say, oh, you should be on Oprah. And we say, oh, gosh, why didn't we think of that?
Exactly. If it was that easy, you know, Greg, give Oprah a call. I'll be glad to show up. That's great. Well, listen, we're going to take a break here in a minute, but we'll come back and continue our conversation with Alan and Linda Anderson right after these messages from our sponsors. So everybody stay tuned.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PetMeds. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PetMeds, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/Lucky, L-U-C-K-Y, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
FTD's network of over 40,000 florists around the world have been creating beautiful handcrafted arrangements for 100 years. Each arrangement is delivered the same day and backed by FTD's 7-day satisfaction guarantee. For a century, people have trusted their most important occasions to the flower experts at FTD.
Since Pet Life Radio is all about puppy dogs and flowers, our listeners, that's you, can get a 20% discount on your order. Just go to fleurop.com and use the code LUCKIES20 at checkout. FLEUROP.com. Code word LUCKYS and the number 20.
You ask the question, what do I want? What do I need? I'll take affection. I really should mention, I need time. I need love. I crave attention. This is new waiting by the door. With shaking tails and happy hearts. And running circles round the floor.
Love My Pets, the new single by Mark Winter, available in iTunes.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's All Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Okay, welcome back. You're back with Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. We're here with Alan and Linda Anderson, just talking a little bit about their book, Dogs and the Women Who Love Them. But I'm going to switch gears a little bit. And as you all may know, Alan and Linda are the founders of the Angel Animals Network. That's been around since 1996. And it serves a wonderful purpose for people that are trying to better understand their relationship with their animals and get through the healing process when an animal has made its transition, among other things. So, Alan, Linda, tell us a little bit about the Angel Animals Network and go ahead and provide the website as well.
Well, we decided, I mean, years ago, I think it was 1996 when we started this whole process, that we wanted to do something that would bring love back to the world. And we had our day jobs, we had all of our responsibilities, but our kids had grown and they had their lives of their own. So, you know, one day we were walking around the lake and we had at the time our dog Taylor, and she was smiling and having a great time because she loves her walks, and people as they walked by would look at her and smile. And, do you know your dog is smiling? They would ask us. And it just brought joy to their lives. I think a lot of the people that walked by seemed to be troubled or seemed to have challenges that we all do, but when they saw a dog's face like that, they seemed to perk up and lighten up a little bit. So we kind of got the idea, well, you know, maybe we can start. We love animals. We've loved them all our lives. We've always had pets, very close pets. Maybe we can start asking a question and seeing what kind of response we get. Have you learned? And at the time, we said spiritual lessons from animals, but more like the lessons that make us the very best people we can be, like courage and love and empathy and all the things that make us really shine in life. So we asked people, have you learned these lessons from a relationship with a pet or animals in nature? And we put that on the bulletin boards at coffee shops and at grocery stores. And back then, the Internet was sort of starting, but we put a few things out on the Internet. Within about 30, 45 days, we had 100 stories. Wonderful stories, amazing stories. They said, I've never been asked that, and I never told this story before because people would think I was crazy. But they really, really, people really wanted to share what they've learned and all the amazing things that animals have been in their lives. So Linda came up with the idea of the actual term, angel animals. And Linda, did you want to say a few more words about that?
Well, the idea angel came because the Greek derivation for that word is messenger. And what we realized and, you know, what we suspected other people were understanding is that when you were having a tough time in life, no matter what was going on, it seemed like there would always be one of these little angels come in and give you the message that you're not alone and that you're loved. And so that seemed to be kind of the appropriate term, angel animals.
Well, we built it up. We started a printed newsletter. And it was subscription-based, and back then we had subscribers from around the world. We even had to have a couple open up a small office in London because of all the subscribers in Great Britain. It was really fun. And then we got an agent, and we did a book proposal, and we did our first book in 1999 called Angel Animals, Exploring Our Spiritual Connection with Animals. And from there, we've been writing books every year.
That's amazing. A journey by taking a walk on the lake. Can you imagine that? With your dog.
Smiling dog.
That's right. Looking back, it's just wonderful to hear those stories, how, you know, God has a purpose for us all and we have a reason for being here. We may not see it or understand it at the time, but when that time's presented, we need to act upon it. And it's obviously what you guys have done and have been very successful in sending a great message and helping people and animals as well.
We certainly hope so.
Absolutely. You definitely have. Now, one of the books that I use as sort of my reference guide, and I help people out, you know, when people are trying to get through that grieving process and understanding things, is Saying Goodbye to Your Angel Animals, Finding Comfort After Losing Your Pet, which is a fantastic book, and it's definitely one that I refer people to all the time. Because, you know, I receive a lot of calls from people who are grieving and really need the support for themselves and for their families whenever their furry family member has made their transition. So tell us a little more about Saying Goodbye to Your Angel Animals and what makes that such a powerful book in helping that healing process when you're trying to understand it all when your pet has passed on.
Well, one of the things that is it's really based on all these years of people sending us their stories and talking to us about how they're feeling and what they're going through when they have lost a pet. And then we kind of, you know, had our own experiences. And we realized that we wanted to kind of build the book around the poem that people love so much, The Rainbow Bridge. And so we structured the book so that people could look at the colors of the rainbow and use those as ways to think about their pets and honor them. And then the bridge would be the ways that people could heal from pet loss. And so that's how we structured the book. And we also included memorial services because that was one thing that we definitely saw was, and particularly at the time this book came out, at the time there was just hardly anything available for people. And they really wanted to have a service for their pets where if they wanted to, they could invite friends and family members and people could tell stories about, you know, the special times they had with that particular pet. And they could have some kind of closure like the kind that you have when people pass away. And so we created three types of memorial services that people could either use as they were or mix and match. And depending on what your spiritual beliefs were, or if you wanted one that was based on the cycles of life and nature, and it was up to you to decide what you wanted to use. And people have just told us that these have helped them tremendously.
There are meditations sprinkled throughout the book, and often when you lose a pet and, you know, we have the same feelings as that, we become angry at ourselves for not seeing it earlier, angry at ourselves for not doing what we think would have been better in helping the pet live longer. One of the meditations is titled Anger and Forgiveness, and, you know, it reads, I acknowledge all my feelings and accept what they are naturally expressions of my grief over losing you. I am angry about what caused you to die. I want to shake my fist or scream at the caregivers who did not save your life. I am angry at God for taking you away too soon. It upsets me that you left this world even though I still needed you. What can I say or think or do to forgive myself and others for not being able to stop you from dying? I mean, a meditation like that is very powerful because you begin looking inwardly and you begin thinking about, really, this anger is not doing any good at all. I've got to find a better way. And of course, there are other meditations for different aspects of the grieving process. It's a beautiful book, helping people heal and move forward. And remember the love. Always remember the love that that beautiful pet, that dog or cat or whatever the animal might be, has brought to their lives.
Absolutely. And it does bring that message about. I think it really helps helps people better understand that whole process and how to get through that healing process. And it is a very spiritual book, but it's not driven by any particular religion or concept. I think the whole book's fantastic, but there are pieces in here that resonate. A particular section is going to resonate more with some people than others, and vice versa. So it really covers the whole gamut, I think, and really helps people understand that whole transition process.
Well, we tried to design it that way because we didn't want people to feel like, well, you know, they have to believe everything that's in this book and agree with everything that's in this book, and we didn't want that to happen. But one of the things that we noticed was that, and we addressed this very straightforwardly in the book, is that many times there's a real disconnect between the person, how the person feels about animals and the afterlife and seeing their animal in heaven and that sort of thing, and what they're being taught in their churches or by their clergy, or even just, you know, comments that people in their congregation make that are, you know, just devastating to them because they're judgmental and they make the person feel like there's something wrong with them because they want to see their animal in heaven. And so we have a whole section on that about how to deal with that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I think it's very powerful. And, you know, I think going back to what you said earlier, Alan, you know, us humans, we have a tendency to beat ourselves up over everything. And with the loss of a pet, that is that holds true as well. We do go through that woulda, shoulda, coulda, wish I woulda caught it sooner. Did I do enough? Does he hate me for allowing that to happen? And I think it is a time also to reflect, you know, whatever your religious beliefs are. People go into that reflection and wonder what happens to that animal when it does pass on.
Well, it makes them think about the whole idea of death and the afterlife in general and about their own. And so it's very complicated when a pet dies, and it's really complicated for children. A lot of times it's their first experience with the death of of anyone. And so the parent has to try to figure out how to talk to their child and how to help their child through this.
Absolutely, and that's a great point. Is there any particular advice that you have when dealing with the transition of a pet when dealing with your children?
Well, one of the things that we talk about is using art as a way for children to. A lot of times they can't express themselves in words, but if you get them to draw a picture of a pet and the family and things that you used to do together, a lot of times the child will talk while they're drawing, or they'll be able to tell you about the drawing, and it helps to get them to express what they're feeling, even though they may not be able to put it into words.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. You know, I also recommend to people, especially when they have children, or even if they don't have children, a great healing process is to get a scrapbook. Get a scrapbook or a picture book. Put your favorite pictures, put your favorite scrapbooks, little pieces of toys, whatever it may be, as sort of not only something you can reflect back onto and eventually turn those that sadness into happiness, because you'll remember all the great things the animal meant to you and had done, but it's part of that whole healing process. So scrapbook, doing pictures, putting that into the scrapbook or putting that on the refrigerator, I think it's a great idea to help the children understand what that's all about.
Well, that's a beautiful idea. They really would like that. One other aspect to the to the memorial services, is there is one that is for people who don't necessarily have strong religious beliefs, one that is oriented towards cycles of life and nature, and really allows those who want to have a tribute to their animal who has died to do it in a way that doesn't compromise their own personal beliefs in some way.
Absolutely. Well, let me ask you a little bit about religion. You know, I was asked, I was contacted last Sunday by a family that had a cat that was making its transition. And the question, which is not the first time I've been asked this, but the question came about of, you know, in the Bible, there's no particular reference or scripture or anything that references the animals go to this place we call heaven. Now, being members of the clergy, are there any particular passages or scripture or anything that you reflect to when people need that closure from a religious standpoint, need some reference to fall back on?
You know, I hate to get into dueling Bibles with people.
We do have one thing that was on the air and in the book, in one of our books, Billy Graham's quote, which he said, if you want, if it will make you happy, your pet will be in heaven there with you. And that was something that he says freely and tells anyone that you might ask him. But that's probably as close as we're going to get to dueling Bibles.
We need to have a different radio show for that kind of debate. Yeah, you know, I try to get to that point too, because I know, you know, I'm not a Bible scholar by any means. I'm more of a spiritual person in general, and I believe everybody has a right to pick their spirituality, pick their path and belief system. I just try to let them know that obviously animals are brought here for a purpose and in our lives, and there's no reason that purpose shouldn't continue after we leave this world. So not getting into a great debate here, that's not what we're for, but that is something I get asked periodically. They seem to want to have that closure, and that part of that closure is to get into passages of scripture.
Comforting to people who refer to the Bible for their spiritual benefit. So, you know, it is true that they really like things like that, and it helps them a lot.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I just want to mention one thing. This is another book that is full of all these types of Bible quotes about animals in the afterlife, and it's called There is Eternal Life for Animals, and it's a book based on Bible scripture by Nikki Baricus Shanahan. And she has a whole series of books now that where she has done a lot of research and found a lot of biblical passages that seem to bring comfort to people.
Very good. Thank you for bringing that up. We'll definitely get that message out as well.
Yeah, it's a resource that we have listed in the back of our book, Saying Goodbye to Your Angel Animals.
Very good. So I'll continue to reference people over to Saying Goodbye to Your Angel Animals, and then they can obviously pick up that book as well if they need further help. I think they'll go a long way by just reading your book, Saying Goodbye to the Angel Animals. So as we're starting to wrap up here, is there any projects or anything you want to talk to the audience about, any promotions, anything you guys have going on?
Well, we're continuing to work with Dogs and the Women Who Love Them, and right now we're writing our next book, which is about animals healing and comforting children. It's going to be called Animals and the Kids Who Love Them.
Very good.
We're working on the stories now to send to our editor for that.
Good deal. So we'll be keeping an eye out for that, and you'll have to let us know when that's going to be out so we can have you guys back on to talk about that one as well.
And we're always looking for stories for our Angel Animal Story of the Week, which is an online newsletter subscription base. It's free. It's every Saturday goes out. And if people want to learn more about that, they can visit angelanimals.net and subscribe.
All right, so you can go to angelanimals.net and subscribe to that. And, of course, there's it is angelanimalsnetwork.com as well to learn more about your books and everything going on.
Yes, so, it's all the same website, but, yeah, absolutely everything is there.
Okay, sounds great. So everybody check that out. I encourage you to check out everything Alan and Linda Anderson are doing, as well as contribute your stories. It's not only great to see your stories possibly in writing, whether it's through the newsletters or possibly through a future book, but it's great just to get that word out there. You're helping so many people out. You're helping the animals out, and you're helping yourself out. I think it's a great healing process to put that out there. So encourage everybody to go put a little note down, share your stories, and send them over to Alan and Linda Anderson. So once again, we're going to wrap up here shortly. I want to thank Alan, Linda Anderson. Thanks for coming on board to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. It's always a pleasure talking to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So we were just talking to Alan and Linda Anderson. We're going to wrap up here just in a few minutes. We're coming to the end of the show today, if you can believe it. It goes by so quick. I'd like to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I'd also like to thank once again Alan and Linda Anderson for being on the show today. Make sure you check out all their books, but the latest one, Dogs and the Women Who Love Them. I want to thank our sponsors and the producers for making the show possible today. You do a great job. Thanks for all the sponsors as well. To find out more about me, Tim Link, and other podcasts that I have done on animal rights, check it out by going to PetLifeRadio.com and click on the animal rights picture or icon, and you can learn more about me as well as download this show and other podcasts and blogs that I've written on there as well. While you're there, be sure to check out all of the other hosts and shows on Pet Life Radio too. If you have any questions or comments or ideas for this show, please email them to me. You can email them at tim@petliferadio.com. That's tim@petliferadio.com. Be glad to answer any questions you have, entertain any comments, and take any show ideas. We're always looking to bring on the best writers and experts that we possibly can. So anyone you want to hear about that's writing about pets or have pets in their lives, we'd be glad to see if we can get them on board. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life. Share it in a blog, article, or book. And who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights. Thanks for joining us today.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.